السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سيدنا علي رضي الله عنه, he was a Khalifa from around 35 Hijri to 40 Hijri. So while he was the Khalif, remember, he is a Khalif, he is ruling over like 2/3 of the then known world, not just ruling one country or something. It's a huge, massive empire that he is ruling over. And then he is the son-in-law of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is also the cousin of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So while he was the Khalif, there was a situation that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's armor was stolen. His armor went missing. And one day, Ali radiallahu anhu, he saw one Yahud, one Jewish person, he has got this armor. Now in those days, things were handmade. So you would make out, you would know your things. Today's zamana, now everything is just on a line. You make this size jacket, all is the same, you know. In those days, things were distinct because things were handmade. So he recognized his armor. So he approached that Jewish person. He says, you know what, this is my armor. So that person denied it. He said, no, it's not your armor. If you're claiming that it's your armor, then you must bring proof or go and open a case. So Ali radiallahu anhu went to the Qazi. Now in Deen Islam, the level of justice, but high level of justice, that even the Khalifa of the time, he has to go to the Qazi. The Qazi, he is working in inverted commas, he is employed by the Khalif, right? But now he has to carry out his duty as a Qazi. When they come to the court now, the Qazi will have to behave like a Qazi. And he has to follow all the procedures of a court case. He can't just say, well, this is our Amirul Mu'mineen, and he's got a very high level of taqwa, and he is from the Ashara Mubashara, so he won't speak a lie like this and pass judgment in his favor. No. The whole court proceedings has to carry on just like if it was anybody else, any citizen. So Qazi Shureyh, who was the judge, so Ali radiallahu anhu went and opened the case there by him. So obviously the Jew was then summoned, and he was asked with regards to the armor that Ali radiallahu anhu is claiming that this is his armor. What do you have to say? So he's denying it. He say, no, the armor doesn't belong to Ali radiallahu anhu. So in Deen Islam, now Ali radiallahu anhu, he has to bring witnesses. He has to bring witnesses to substantiate his case. So Ali radiallahu anhu brought his son, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu, or Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, one of the two. And he had a freed slave whose name was Qambar. So he brought the two of them as witnesses. So Qazi Shureyh said that, see, Qambar is your freed slave. He is no more owned by you. So we will accept his testimony in your favor. But your son, we can't accept him. That he is your son, he is closely related to you. So we can't accept him to be a witness in your favor. So sorry, this case now is, judgment is passed in favor of the Jew. Because you can't prove that it's yours. Do you have any other witnesses? And Adi Ram said, no, no other witnesses. I said, well then sorry. Judgment now we can't pass in your favor. So Ali radiallahu anhu accepted. Well, this is the rule. This is the law of Allah Ta'ala. This is our Shariat. This is what we stand by. So if this is the ruling, then I must respect the ruling of the Qazi. And he came out of the court. So this Jew is, one is he's observing the whole proceedings now, right? That this is the Amirul Mu'mineen. But he is being treated as an ordinary citizen. In front of the Qazi, he is not even now wielding that authority or trying to sway things in his favor because he is the Amirul Mu'mineen. He is following the procedure as normal as an ordinary citizen. And then when judgment is passed, not in his favor, so this Yahud noticed that not even a frown came on his face. This is what you call Raza bil Qaza. Person is pleased with the decree of Allah Ta'ala. That's it. Finish. Not going to argue, not going to fight, nothing. He just accepted it. No frown. He didn't look, give Qazi Shuriya look like, what's wrong with you? Nothing. He didn't even look at the Yahud like, you know what you did. You know, nothing, absolutely nothing. And he came out. So the Yahud went behind Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. And he told him, you know, I realize that this deen is the correct deen. The effects of this deen being correct, this can be seen on you. And then he recited the kalima. He read shahadat, became a Muslim, and then he confessed also that this armor is yours, and he returned the armor. When he returned the armor, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu gave it to him as a gift. He said, now you have it as a hadiah, as a gift. You may now have this armor. He gave it to him as a gift. So it is mentioned that this Yahud, he remained with Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu until he became shaheed in one of the battles. One of the battles he earned shahadat, this Yahud. He became a mu'min after that. And he became a shaheed. But you see the level of justice in Deen-e-Islam. This is this Shariat that we are supposed to be establishing. The Shariat, the Deen of Allah Ta'ala. There is no law that is better than this law. It's unfortunate today that even we as Muslims, when it comes to the laws of inheritance, when it comes to the laws of marriage, when it comes to the laws of business, etc., then as soon as something is going to go not in our favor, then Allah Ta'ala protect us. But such words come out that sometimes those words are bordering on kufr. Now you'll find women get carried away now in this woman's month, and I don't know what this month is, what they call it, all the rights of women, and where can the kuffar champion the rights of women? It is Allah Ta'ala, Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the deen of Islam that has championed the rights of women. So now sometime when it comes to the laws of inheritance, then the lady sees that I'm inheriting less than the man. The brother is inheriting double what the sister inherits. Now, from the mouth sometime it comes out that the laws of inheritance in Islam are very unfair. Now, if you make a statement like that, what are you saying? That Allah Ta'ala is unfair? Because Allah Ta'ala is the one who made the laws. Now you say Allah Ta'ala is unfair. Allah protect us. Allah safeguard us. You find our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned this. He said when it comes to inheritance matters, comes to business matters, etc., then the person, he checks which way his bread is going to be buttered. Where his bread is going to be buttered. So for example, if a man now, if his father or mother, they were ignorant and they made a will that all our children must inherit equally. So now when he reads the will, he says, no man, if this thing goes according to Sharia, then I'll inherit more. If it goes according to Sharia, I'll inherit more. So now he'll run to the ulama. Say, no man, you know, you need to explain to my siblings. We don't want azab to come to our father in the qabr and all that. All that story the person will make. But his objective is not to uphold the Sharia. His objective is that I will get more money if I go the Islamic route. And if, for example, the father left half the estate to him, now he won't want to go according to Sharia. The same person now, he won't want to go according to Sharia. Now he'll say, no, we got a legal will here. We have to uphold what our father said. We can't do anything else. We must respect his wishes. Then he'll be running to the master of the, what they call that fellow? Supreme Court. You know, there is one person who deals with all the estates. They call him master of the court. So I don't know what he is. Something he is, right? So now he say, no, now he'll go by that person. Now he'll open a case over there. Because now if he goes to the kuffar courts, then he'll be inheriting more. The same thing comes with custody of children. Custody of children. So, the lady, when the children are very small and custody goes to the wife, then she's very happy. So, no, Islamically, I must look after the children. But then, Islam didn't prevent the father from seeing the children, didn't prevent the father from taking the children out. No, then she wants social workers must be present, and this must be supervised visits, and must be this, and must be that. Then all of a sudden he became a, what? Irresponsible father, and this and that, a whole lot of stories. But when she was living with him so many years, everything was okay. Now after that he became irresponsible and everything, you know what and what. And sometimes it's the other way around. The husband is not prepared to accept the laws of Sharia. The husband will go to the Maulana, now you see, never work out. Now he'll hop to the next Maulana, never work out. Now he'll jump to the court. And when he jumps to the court, now he sees, no, he's not working out there. Let me jump back to the Maulanas now. So they just carry on jumping. We don't want to accept Allah's law. We just want to carry on shopping around, whether we shop by the ulama, whether we shop by the ulumas, whether we go to the kuffar court, wherever we go. Even if we have to end up by some Barelvi mufti, or we have to end up by one Shia also, or one Salafi too, no problem. Long as we get one fatwa that suits our nafs. Soon as we get that fatwa that suits our nafs, now we happy. Or a ruling, now we happy. Because we don't want Allah's law. You find this a lot when there's business disputes between business parties. Now the person, he'll go by this Morana, that Morana. As soon as the ruling is not in his favor, now he'll start making stories about the Morana. Before that, the Morana was very good. But as soon as the Morana is not going to pass a ruling in his favor, now finish. Oh no, he's like this. He's looking at faces. He's not understanding the matter. Those people went and spoke to him beforehand and filled his ears. All that kind of stories you will hear. So you don't want to just accept Allah Ta'ala's law. Now look at these Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, so high people, but how they just submitted themselves. That I am the slave of Allah Ta'ala. Whatever is the hukam of Allah Ta'ala, whatever is the ruling of Allah Ta'ala. You know, there's one ajeeb incident. When Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was martyred, so Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu, naturally he was now, you know, feeling very down. His father just got martyred. So in that mood of his, when he was feeling very down, his wife, she felt that she'd say something to cheer him up, you know, to pick up his spirits, you know. So she told him that, hey, Mubarak, you know, you'll become the Khalifa. So he turned around, he got so upset, and he told her that, my, you know, like, I'm lamenting the loss of my father, and you giving me Mubarak Badi on becoming the Khalifa. You congratulating me on becoming the Khalifa. And in that, he gave her three talaqs. He gave her three talaqs. Now she had to now put her niqab on, separate from him, because three talaqs, now the marriage is over. So she turned around and she made a statement that, you know, I was only trying to, like, trying to cheer you up, trying to do something good. And she walked away. So Hassan radiallahu anhu, he sent one of his khadims with a large sum of money. Today people, they get divorced for silly reasons, right? And then they don't even want to give that lady nafaka for the duration that she is in her iddat also. They're speeding to give her nafaka for the duration that she is in her iddat. Now look at Hassan radiallahu anhu. Over and above, he gave her the talaq. Now he would have given her some nafaka or whatever. But over and above that, he sent a large sum. I can't remember exactly what was the sum of the amount. But he sent a large sum of money and some gifts of clothing, that, you know, go and give it to her. So when this khadim went there and he presented these things, so she took the thing and put it one side, and she said that, what is this? What is this in comparison to losing a beloved? So when this khadim came and related what she said to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu, then he also began crying. And he said that, if I didn't give her such a severe talaq, in other words, if I didn't give her three talaqs, I would have taken her back in my nikah. Now, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu, the Sahabi, grandson of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he is accepting the law of deen. Okay, I gave the three talaqs now. Now, there's nothing I can do now. As much as I'm regretting my decision, but I can't reverse the situation now. I got to accept now the consequences of my action. But today's time, how many people, they are blurting out talaqs, three talaqs they are giving. After that, they're shopping around for fatwas. Right round, they're shopping around. Google, they're looking for fatwa. They get one fatwa from one Shia also. That no, three is equal to one. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say that we are mu'mineen. Three is three. One is one, three is three. We don't believe in Trinity. Three is equal to one and all that. So we don't believe in that. So the person will go shopping around for one fatwa, some long as somebody just told him something. Now he'll go and take that wife back. They are living in zina. They are living in zina. Not bothered. Not bothered living in zina. One person went so far, the statement the person made sent shivers down your spine. This man gave that lady three talaqs. They went mufti, mufti, they got a ruling, finished, the nikah is over, everything is khalas. Now there were some children involved. So the father used to come to pick the children up every second weekend or whatever it is. So when he comes to drop the children off, now the children are crying. The father is going away. Children are crying. The nana, now he's observing this thing all the time. Eventually, he spoke to the daughter. He said, you know, you rather just get back with this man. They say, but now, how are we going to get back? It's three talaq. Now they got some ruling from somewhere and made the nikah. When people approach the grandfather, the girl's father now, to tell him, boy, you know what, your daughter is going to be living in zina. How are you all going to face Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah for what you're doing? So the statement he made, he said, if I have to bear the punishment of Jahannam, I'll bear it. But I can't tolerate to see my grandchildren crying like this. How shallow is our thinking? What we think, Jahannam is some walk in the park? We do the wrong, then we have to face the consequences of our wrong, but then we get upset, and then we looking for loopholes, and we... Allah Ta'ala, Allah's power is something else. How can we even talk like that? Even think like that? No, I'll tolerate Allah's punishment, but I can't see my grandchildren crying like this. On Sunday, I was carrying the children, those that stay here in the weekend. I said, this thought just came to my mind, you know. I was reading some news on Gaza, and they're saying that now they're bombing this building in Gaza city and bombing that building. So this thought came to my mind that for 2 years, right, relentless bombing, every day, every night they are bombing. For 2 years. And that Gaza is not a big place. Small place. The population used to be plus minus 2.5 million. Now Allah Ta'ala alone knows what's the population. Every day they are killing so many people. Killing so many people. So the small place, they're bombing every day. Don't know how many 100 kg bomb. 1000 kg bomb, this how many 100 kg bomb, they're dropping here, dropping there, then the tanks and their machine gun fire and the missiles and don't know what and what they're using, right? So much of firepower, one bomb hits the ground, and the people that experience this thing, they write how this shook, and there we were so far away, we could feel the ground shaking, and the smoke was so high up, and the flames, and the sound, and children started crying, and the fear, you know, they explain how this thing happened. And I'm thinking to myself, that there so much of bombing, and there still is building standing. After 2 years they're bombing, and they still got some more buildings to bomb. They still got some more buildings to bomb. And wherever they bombed, now they still need these earth moving equipment now to come and clear the place out and whatever. right? And Allah Rabbul Izzat, Allah Ta'ala is telling us that it will just be one blowing of a trumpet. Just one blow of the trumpet, and not by Allah Ta'ala, by one makhluk of Allah. One angel that is a makhluk of Allah. That angel will be instructed to blow the trumpet. Just one blowing of a trumpet. And not only Gaza, the entire world. Not Africa, not Europe, no. The whole world, the entire world will be flattened. The whole world will become like one field. Like how you have a soccer field, you know, a grounds, flat. Not one tree, not one mountain, not one building, nothing. There won't be any need for any bulldozers to come, any TLBs to come, flatten the place, whatever rubble is left. No. It will be totally demolished, turned to dust. Mountains will be flying like cotton wool in the air. That's how small particles, everything will be broken into small particles, and the whole world will be one flat field. So what is the power of Allah Ta'ala? We're talking about these bombs and talking about these armies. They're bombing. 2 years they're bombing. They're still bombing. There's still buildings left in a small area. And Allah Ta'ala is saying one blow of the trumpet. Just one blow. And not Allah Ta'ala. One makhluk of Allah. One angel of Allah Ta'ala. A creation of Allah Ta'ala. One blow of the trumpet. And the whole world, everything will be flattened. Everything will be flattened. Now if you think a little bit further, these people, with all their technology, all their army, all the assistance from all the other partners in crime, shaitans, they trying to find this Hamas. Say, no, we're bombing that hospital because Hamas is there. We're bombing this one, Hamas there. We're looking for our hostages. Looking for our hostages. They bombed so much. They got this surveillance, drone surveillance, robot surveillance, army personnel, everything looking, can't find this hostages. Can't get the hostages, can't find the Hamas. And Allah Ta'ala is saying, وَنُفِقَ فِي السُّورِ, one blowing of the trumpet. فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ. Each and every human being, from the time of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, right to the end of time, each and every jinn, from before the time of Adam alayhi salam, till the end of time, each and every one will wake up and proceed to the planes of resurrection. No one will be able to go in another direction. No one will be able to say, oh, I'm coming just now. No one will be able to be late. No one can have any excuse. No one can have any appointment. No one can hide anywhere. No one can duck anywhere. Each and every, what is Allah Pak's control? When you say, Inna Allaha ala kulli shay'in qadir. What is Allah Pak's control? Here, Allah is just giving us rain. Allah is just giving us free rain. We think we walking, we moving, we talking, we conducting our business, we can do like this, we can... Allah is just leaving us. Allah is leaving us, allowing us. If Allah Pak wants, nobody will be able to do anything. Like on that day, when Allah Pak would order for the trumpet to be blown the second time, nobody can go anywhere else. Even the worst criminal who doesn't want to go in that direction, he knows what's awaiting him there, but he can't help it. He has to go there. He's under the authority of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's power before Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will send one breeze. Here they are sending, don't know what and what, they can't find these people. They're bombing all the tunnels, everything. These people are still coming out from some more tunnels. They're bombing this. These people are still coming out, killing their soldiers here. Killing. So much they're doing. Today, I think, was some shooting in Jerusalem. Now, these people got a shock now. They say, how they came inside Jerusalem and shot us now, inside Jerusalem. And they shot us. So now they go on a rampage now. Close all the checkpoints. Go now. Collective punishment and, you know, all these things are going to go. But they are at a loss. They are at a loss. That how much we bombing? What we doing? Now look at Allah Pak's Qudrat. Allah Ta'ala will send one breeze. That breeze will go and hit its target. What's its target? Every mu'min. That mu'min can be in a cave in a mountain too. The breeze will go find him. Can be in a Hamas tunnel too. He will find him. Wherever the mu'min is, in Alaska, or is in Marrakesh, or in Albert Falls, anywhere, that breeze will go. And every mu'min will pass away. Every mu'min will pass away. How long these people are trying now to find this Hamas and to find this one and not working out with all their surveillance, all their technology. What is Allah Pak's power? We haven't recognized Allah Ta'ala's power. That's why we still sin in front of Allah. We still sin in front of Allah. We still break Allah Ta'ala's commands, Allah's laws, because we haven't understood the power of Allah Ta'ala. What is Allah Pak's power? So Allah Rabbul Izzat give us tawfiq to appreciate this beautiful deen Allah Ta'ala gave us. Allah Pak give us tawfiq to submit ourselves to His ahkam, you know, to recognize, to get the recognition of who our Allah is. To some degree, we realize who Allah Ta'ala is. Then we'll watch our every step. We'll watch our every step. And you understand how powerful Allah Pak is. We'll watch your every step. I won't step out of line. I can't step out of line. Now, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, you mentioned this, and conclude on this. It just came to my mind now. That the robber comes in the house, Allah Ta'ala make hifazat. But generally, we are like this spineless. We're not like that Jamaat in Kwaghafontein. They fought back, mashallah. Allah Pak give us tawfiq to be like them also. So, the robber comes in the house, they take out one gun, and they tell everybody, go on the floor. Now, at that time, Hazrat used to say those days when everybody was watching TV, you know, now they're all watching the phone. So the person is watching his favorite movie, his favorite program. If the wife have to call him, hey, wait man, I'm watching the match, you know, or I'm watching this program. Anybody calls him, no, he's busy there. And so much so that namaz too can go. He is busy there. But when the robber comes and the robber takes the gun and tell him go on the floor, then he complies immediately. Then he doesn't tell the robber that, hey, bhai, you know what, just hang on a little bit. I'm watching my favorite program here. You just hang 10 now. Relax. Right? You go do something else. Come back when I'm finished with my program. Then I'll listen to you. Then he doesn't do that. That time he listened to the robber. The robber told him, get on the ground. Now he's gone on the floor. He doesn't tell him, it's my favorite program. I can't miss out. It's a continuation. He doesn't say all that. Why? Because he fears the bullet. He got yakin that the bullet from the gun can harm him. But he got no yakin that the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala can harm him. He got more fear for the bullet from the robber's gun than the anger of Allah Ta'ala, the azab of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala give us this ma'rifat. Talk about this ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala. One is the jamal, the beauty. Allah's mercy, Allah's tolerance. When we realize the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, then side by side we realize the tolerance of Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah is so powerful. And we are breaking so many of Allah's commands. And Allah is still giving us food to eat, water to drink. He's still taking care of us, giving us clothes, shelter. We're doing all wrong. But He's still being so kind to us, so merciful to us. And we got no tolerance. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Allah make it asan for the Ummat in Gaza and in other parts of the world. These flotillas that go, they must rather go with empty ship. Every time they're going, taking aid and medication and they're going there. That aid and medication is going to the Zionists because they confiscate the ship and they confiscate the cargo. These Jews, they're so conjures, Makki Jews, they got so much. They still steal everything else what come their way also. So rather they must go with the empty ship, no? Empty boxes. No? At least one thing they'll get, do a prank on them. Can't do anything else. Allah Ta'ala give the Ummat the courage that we don't say we're going with the aid and medicine. We must say we are coming with the help of Allah Ta'ala. We are coming with the help of Allah Ta'ala and we are coming with arms. We're not coming with medication and food yet. We're coming with weapons. Coming to fight you in the name of Allah. That is what the Ummat is supposed to be doing. But we are weak. We are sitting down. Leaving those people like sitting ducks. Our own, that is our own, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, starving to death. Starving to death, no food. We're sitting, we're eating nicely, but we can't do anything. That's how weak we have become as an ummah. So from there we can gauge how weak our namaz is, how weak our roza is, how weak our charities are. If our iman is so weak, that we can't do anything, become so weak as an ummah, then that means every department of ours is gone so weak. So the minimum we can do is cry to Allah. Cry to Allah, Ya Allah. You help. You help them, you help us. Allah Ta'ala, make it easy, no? Allah Pak, make it easy. Despite all what is happening, we are still indulging in so much gunas. So much haram, so much wrong. Allah forgive us. Allah forgive us. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma lakal hamdu kulluh wa lakal shukru kulluh. Allahumma rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو عف عنا اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المسلمين في غزة وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر الإخواننا المجاهدين في أرض الإسلام، اللهم لعن الكفرة الذين يصدون عن سبيلك ويكذبون رسلك ويقاتلون أولياءك، اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وزلزل أقدامهم وشتت شملهم ومزق جمعهم ودمر ديارهم وفرق بينهم وقطع دابرهم، اللهم أنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين، اللهم خذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر، اللهم خذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر، اللهم خذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Now you get murmurs from some presidents and say, no, Gaza City is a red line. By your red lines, don't know how many red lines you passed, don't know what red line you still waiting for. Then some of them, they say, no, now we're putting embargoes on Israel. But your embargoes is 2 years late. Now when there's nothing left there, the whole place is flattened. Now you're talking about embargoes and now you're talking about, that's all just to appease the population in their countries, because the people are boiling, they're marching, they're protesting. So now just to make the population, the subjects in the country, to keep them a little bit cool. No, we're doing this, we're doing that. We're allowing this flotilla to go. If this country is really wanted that flotilla to reach, they would have sent their navy ships with the flotilla. That's all just rhetoric. Allah Ta'ala knows best who is sincere, who is insincere. We don't know what is happening behind the scenes. But Allah forgive our cowardice, our weakness, our cowardice. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.